To Genesis chapter 3. It's on page 3. Genesis chapter 3. Beginning with verse 1. I'm reading from the New International Version. I want you to follow this in whatever translation you have. I want you to listen to this very, very carefully. Genesis 3, beginning with the first word in the first verse. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die.' You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" There are several unanswered questions about Eve's conversation with Satan. For instance, Eve does not appear at all to be startled that she's talking to an animal. Why? Eve is talking to a snake, and the snake is talking back to her. But she doesn't seem to be taken aback by this. Is there some kind of a backstory about all of this? I don't know, and all of those questions are unanswered. There are many unanswered questions about Eve's conversation with Satan here. For instance, how long after creation did this event in the garden take place? God created Adam, and from Adam, God created Eve, and he placed them in the garden. How long were Adam and Eve in the garden before this event of the serpent takes place? Were they there a day, a week, a month? Were Adam and Eve living in Eden for decades before this day? Again, we're not told. What about this? What was the forbidden fruit? And the tree that was in the middle of the garden that they were told not to touch or not to eat, was the fruit on that tree different from the fruit on the other trees of the garden? And is that what caused Eve to pause at that tree? Again, we're not told. Let me give you one more. What about Satan here? Now look at this. Verse 1. Look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Now listen to me. Satan appears in Scripture here without any details. None. Here is a serpent that talks to Eve. Now, if you keep reading the Bible, and if you read all the Bible, we find out who this serpent was, the devil, and who and what the devil is all about. But what I'm saying is that his introduction here is just very, very vague. Here is a serpent. Now, later we understand that this is the devil. But we don't find that out until Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Do you know what the time difference is from Genesis 3 to Revelation 12? When John says in verse 9 that that ancient serpent was the devil. We find out later, John 8:44, that the devil is a murderer and the father of all lies. We find out later that the devil, Matthew 13:32, will take the word from your heart as it's being preached if you will allow him to. We find out later, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, that the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All of that comes later. What I'm saying is that Satan simply appears, and it's just very vague. Are you listening? Because we're getting there right now. There are many unanswered questions about this conversation. Because our inquisitive natures, we want to know. Well, what this and what that? What is important is that God in this story tells us what we need to know. And all of the things that aren't necessary for us to know, we are not told. But our inquisitive nature, we want more and we wish we knew more. Now, here's where we're going. In this conversation, this same conversation, what is brought to light are some very, very clear lessons that we need to know. And while there are questions that our inquisitive minds want to know that we don't have the answers to, there are some spotlight lessons that God shines down that all of us need to take in to our lives. So this morning, I'm going to share with you five such lessons. And all of these are going to come out of Eve's conversation with Satan. You ready? Number one, in Eve's conversation with Satan, we find that sin doesn't have to appear ugly to be ugly. Sin does not have to appear ugly to get very ugly. Look at chapter 3, look at verse 6. This was the temptation. Look at verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good, underline good. When she saw that it was good for food and pleasing, underline pleasing, your translation may say desirable, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable, underline desirable. Look at those three words. Good, pleasing, desirable. What is there to be afraid of with those words? Nothing. Good, pleasing, desirable. Listen to me. Sin does not have to appear ugly to be ugly. Those are the three words that describe the temptation that led Eve into sin and the fall of humanity. Now, let me tell you something. We have this way about us, and no one is more guilty of what I'm about to say than preachers are. No one is more guilty than we preachers are, where we will stand up and say, look, sin is awful and the devil is ugly. You're gonna know when you get to sin, because sin is gonna be awful and the devil is gonna be ugly. You don't have to worry about knowing that. Sin is awful and the devil is going to be ugly. And I'm telling you that neither one of those things may be true at all initially. Neither one of them may be true initially. I want to show you two passages over in the book of Hebrews about sin. First, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. Now hear it. Rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. What does that verse tell us? That verse tells us that there is pleasure in sin. That verse tells us that there is an enticement into sin. In fact, the word pleasure there means enjoyment. The verse actually talks about the enjoyment of sin to enjoy. But look what else it says, for a short time. Listen, there has to be an attraction to sin. There has to be an initial pleasure in sin, or nobody do it. So here, the Bible says, here is this initial attraction. Now, second passage, go back to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Hebrews 3:12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart turning away from the living God. Now watch what verse 13 is going to tell you about sin. But encourage one another daily, as long as you call it today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. What that tells us about sin is that sin is deceitful. What does that mean? That means that sin is going to promise you a lot of things that it cannot and will not deliver. Put the two passages together. I beg you to understand that the best day you will ever have in sin is the first day. The first day of sin will come without pain. But it gets real painful after that. James chapter 1 and verse 15 says that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is, sin, when it becomes full grown, brings forth death. You need to remember this about sin. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin does not have to appear ugly to be ugly. Eve looked at the fruit. It looked good. It looked pleasing. It looked desirable. But when this was over, all hell broke loose. Well, what was the forbidden fruit? I don't have any idea. I don't have any idea. But instead of spending my time trying to figure out things that I'm never going to figure out, how about we spend some time learning some things that are actually taught here? In Eve's conversation with the devil, what I learned is that sin doesn't have to appear ugly to get real ugly in just a little while. Number two, in Eve's conversation with the devil, here's what we learn. The devil loves to remind us of the things we are missing in life. The devil loves to remind us of the things that we are missing in life. Now, look at me and understand this. This whole conversation between Eve and the serpent, the whole conversation, every word of it, is about one tree that was in the garden that Eve couldn't have. That's the whole conversation. There's one, how many trees in that garden? There's one tree she couldn't have. You listening? So instead of Eve looking at what she had, she's looking at what she can't have. Amen. Instead of Eve counting her blessing, what Eve chose to focus on was what was forbidden for her. Now listen, this was thousands of years ago, but the method is still the same. The method is still the same. What happens to us is we go through life, and instead of us turning our attention to what it is that we do have, the devil gets us to focus on what we don't have. And instead of us counting our blessings, we focus on the forbidden tree. Now, let me explain what happened to Eve here. Because same thing happens to us. And in the next 4 or 5 minutes, this could save your soul from hell. Did you hear what I said? If somebody told me that, if I didn't listen to none of that, I'm going to listen to this. This could save your soul from hell. This is exactly what happened to Eve, and it's exactly what happens to us. If Eve, in that garden, with the serpent and the forbidden tree, if Eve had just stopped for 1 minute, just 1 minute, just stop and considered all that God had provided for her. Woman, you're living in paradise. You're living in a world where there's no pain. You're living in a world where there's no disease. You're living in a world where there's no hurt. You're living in a world where you're in fellowship with God. Woman, look where you're at and look what you have. But instead of looking at all that God had provided for her, you know what she did? She stood in the middle of that garden and she just stared at that forbidden tree. Are you listening? No. You got to listen now. She's standing there, and instead of taking 1 minute to consider all that God had provided her with, she's standing there and she's staring at that forbidden tree. And because she stood there and because she stared at that forbidden tree, she began to think to herself, oh, I'm being cheated. Look what I'm missing out on. Look at all this. Look what I'm missing out on. Listen to me. We do the same thing. Instead of Eve and the devil, it's Fox and the devil. And it's you and the devil. It's the same deal. Listen, instead of us stopping and looking at what God has provided for us in our lives, instead of that, we want to ignore all that, and what we want to do is stare at the forbidden tree. Let me give you a couple examples of that. I want to say this plain because I want everybody to understand this. We come to worship. We come here to worship. And instead of us, some of us, instead of looking at this as one of the greatest blessings that God gives to his people, instead of us looking at this as a time where we can come together with others who are like faith with ourselves and praise and honor and glorify God, and instead of us coming in here and sitting down, and if you don't know this, you're going to know it now because I'm going to tell you, and don't you ever forget this. You come in here, and when you sit down, whether your hard head understands it or not, you are sitting in a room with some of the finest people that you will ever, 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 ever be around in your life. You just are. You just are. And instead of us coming in here and worshiping God and looking around, this is the best company you'll ever be in till you get to the other side if you make it. This is the best company. And instead of us coming in here and taking advantage of what God has provided in this place for us, some of us, here's what we come in here, you know what we do? We stare at the forbidden tree. Well, how come we ain't got a band like other people got? How come we ain't got some good, healthy sister up here banging on the keys? Why don't we move all this out of here and have plays and have drama? Listen, stop looking at the forbidden tree. That's forbidden. And then we do what Eve does. Well, I just feel cheated going there. Look what I'm missing out on. Look what I'm missing out on. Listen, in Eve's conversation with the devil, here's what I know among all the answers I don't have. Here's some I know. Sin doesn't have to appear ugly to get real ugly. Sin can look good at the beginning, but she's gonna get ugly, or he's gonna get ugly. It's going to get ugly. What I do know in Eve's conversation with the devil, Satan loves to remind us of what we're missing in life. That's what he did with the prodigal son. Boy, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with him? All the boy needed was somebody to get him by each ear and shake some sense into him. The boy running around here, he's at home with his dad, his brother. Now, his brother wasn't much. But he's at home, he's with his dad, but daddy wasn't satisfied. You know what? Because he felt like he's missing something. I'm being cheated. I need to get away from daddy. I need to get away from home. I need to go out into the world, and I need to get out there and grab all these things that I'm missing, because I'm missing all of it. So the boy took his inheritance. Listen, that boy was not supposed to have his inheritance until his daddy died, but his dad wasn't getting around to that quick enough for him. So he took his inheritance, and with a pocket full of money, he mounted a horse and rode off. I'm going out there now and getting all the stuff that I missed. And when that boy went out there, he got what everybody else who goes out there get. The more he got of what he wanted, the less he wanted of what he got. You can believe that. The devil loves to tell us what we're missing in life. Oh, look what you're missing. and we just bite on it. I'm going to say this too. There's 10 areas. Let's say I got 10 areas of my life, and you got 10 areas of yours. Home life, work life, life, 10 areas. And say two of those areas aren't good. Two of them. So you know what we do? What do we do? We focus on those two areas and totally ignore the eight that are good. You know why we do that? Because the devil loves to remind us of what we're missing in life. Listen, if I got two bad areas and eight good areas, I'm doing pretty good in life. Well, how long was creation established before this happened? I don't have any idea. And I don't care. What was the forbidden fruit? What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Here's what I know. In Eve's conversation with the devil, what I know is that sin doesn't have to appear ugly to get outright nasty quick. Here's what I know about Eve's conversation with the devil. The devil loves to remind us of what we're missing in life. Lesson number three. Number three. In Eve's conversation with the devil, I learned this. Satan did not force Eve to eat that fruit. Look, what do you think happened here? Do you think that the devil took the forbidden fruit and hid it in a fruit salad and said, here, Eve, eat this? That's not what happened here. Now listen to me, because this is Eve and this is you and this is me. The devil played a part in Eve's temptation. He did. The devil tempted her. Listen to me. The devil dangled the carrot out there for her. That's what he does. The devil dangled the carrot. But it was Eve who made the choice to eat that fruit. Do you hear me? The same thing is with you and I. The devil plays a part in our temptation. He brings the temptation. The devil dangles the carrot out there. But brethren, listen to me. Each one of us is responsible for our own choices and for our own actions. Satan did not force Eve to do that. You choose what you do. God has entrusted each of us with a talent and an ability. You may have five, you may have two, you may have one, but nobody has less than one. God gave you that ability to use that in your life and service for him. But you have a choice. You can either use that talent or you can go out and bury it. God has given to each of us a tongue, but you choose what to do with it. You can choose to take that tongue and encourage people, or you can choose to discourage people with it. You can choose to praise God with that tongue, or you can choose to cuss your neighbor with it.
God has given us a life that he wants us to live to his glory. But you have a choice with what you do with your life. The devil isn't going to force you to do this. These are your choices. These are your actions. And bless God, actions still have consequences. Lesson number four. Now listen to this carefully. Lesson number four. In Eve's conversation with the devil, when Eve sinned, her sin was not followed by thunder and lightning in the garden. Did you hear what I said? Eve is standing there at the forbidden tree, and the devil's telling her, listen, didn't God say you could eat from the fruits of the tree? And Eve said, yeah, God said we can eat from the fruits of the tree. Eve said, but then God said that there's one tree right here in the middle of the garden, don't eat it. I want you to picture this in your mind. Eve is having a conversation with the devil. Eve is quoting God to the devil. How rich is this? How rich is this? Eve is quoting God to the devil. And the devil said, oh, Eve, So here's Eve. Listen to me. Don't leave me. Here's Eve. Eve standing there looking at that forbidden tree and looking at that forbidden fruit. Oh, Eve, go ahead. Eve, it's all good. Go ahead. So Eve reached up. She took the fruit from the tree, and she ate it. Are you listening? When Eve ate the fruit, the world didn't turn upside down. When Eve ate that fruit, sirens didn't start going off in Eden. Thunder and lightning didn't start flashing into the sky. When Eve took that fruit, and when Eve ate that fruit, you know what happened? It was good. Now, you know the devil. You know the devil. I could see him. Told you, didn't I, Eve? Didn't I, Mama? I told you. You need to start listening to me. You need to start listening to me. You need to stop paying attention. I told you. I told you. See, Eve, you did it. You did it. And ain't nothing happening here. You did ain't nothing happening. No, you didn't get caught. You didn't get caught. Nothing happened. Listen, she did get caught. She did get caught. She and Adam were expelled from the garden. God said, listen, now you have children, you're going to give pain and birth to children, and a whole lot of other stuff happened. Listen, her sin caught her, and your sin will catch you. And when you commit that sin, the world may not flip upside down, but your sin is going to catch you. Don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The law of sowing and reaping is this. You will reap what you sow, you will reap more than you sow, and you will reap later than you sow. here's the verse. Because when I read it to you, you're going to say, now where did he say that verse was? Here's the verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. And here's what it says. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, you commit sin, nothing happens. You got away with it. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the heart of the people, that is the people who committed the sin, are filled with schemes to do wrong. And that's what folks think. Well, I did it and I didn't get caught. So they never take that to mean, well, okay, I should not ever do that again. No, I need to keep doing this. Are you listening? Your sin is going to catch you. Listen to me. You're not the exception to this rule. You are not the exception to this rule. So here we going. Here is Eve's conversation with the devil. Sin doesn't have to appear ugly, you get ugly. And I'm telling you, that garden got ugly. Satan loves to remind us of what we're missing in life. Loves to. Satan did not force Eve to eat that fruit. All he could do is dangle the carrot. That's what he does to you. What you do with that carrot is on you. That's on you. Let me give you one more, number five. Number five. In Genesis 3, Satan didn't look like Satan. Did you notice that? Satan didn't look like Satan. Verse 1 says he is more crafty, that is cunning. Paul said the devil has the ability to appear as an angel of light. Satan doesn't look like Satan. Folk walk around and think until they run into somebody with a red suit and the horns and a pitchfork, they haven't seen the devil. The devil can smell good. The devil can wear a tight skirt. Remember Matthew 16? In Matthew 16, Jesus is trying to get the apostles to understand that he has to die. And they're not getting it because of what their concept of the kingdom was. They just weren't understanding. What do you mean you're dying? So in Matthew 16, Jesus explains this to them again. He says, listen, I got to go. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. And Peter is just beside himself. And so Peter steps up and said, Lord, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. He said, we are not going to let this happen. I'm not going to let this happen to you. And in verse 23 of Matthew 16, Jesus said to Peter, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, did Satan actually become Peter? Well, no. But at that moment, Satan was using Peter to try to stop what God's plan was for the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Now listen, the devil does the same thing in your life and in my life. It's the same thing. The devil will use your friend to get you away from God. Do you hear what I said? The devil will use a co-worker to get you about things you shouldn't be about. The devil will even use some of your raggedy family members to get you away from God. Don't sit there and look at me like you ain't got raggedy family members. And if you don't, I can give you some of mine. Here's the end. Here's the end. And this is all you got to remember.
I would know.
Eve had a conversation with the devil, and the devil lied to her. That's all you got to remember.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Eve had a conversation with the devil, and the devil lied to her. Listen, he always lies. He always lies. So quit talking to him. Quit talking to him. You think he's going to break out into truth this afternoon? He always lies. So why you keep going back for that? Eve's conversation with the devil. Whatever it promises, it's not going to deliver. And when it ends, you're going to be in misery. And people around you who may have had nothing to do with your devilment are going to be in misery as well. But you can turn from that right now. You can turn from that right now. Tell the devil, shut up. I'm done listening. And walk with God. This morning, if you need to respond, do it right now as together we stand.